hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
Welcome to Pauly's Podcast.
You know, I've been thinking about this. If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
Our time.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Pauly Mac Podcast. We are, if you guys only knew what was going on behind the scenes right now, we're frantic, but I'll tell you what, we're unscathed and we're going to be in place. We're going to deliver some beautiful content for all of our friends today. It is May 6th. It's May flipping 6th. What the hell? What the hell is, I can't imagine how fast this year is going, but it is. And it's also Willie Mays' birthday today. So happy birthday to the Say Hey Kid, as I greet my cohorts and my partners in crime, podcast crime. On the rest of the like rules and regulations of society, we're okay. We commit high crimes on the podcast seas on a weekly basis. That being said, Creative Tony, welcome aboard. Shannon Kaler, Stone Fox's vocalist, creative presence, we'll say. Welcome aboard. Willie Mays birthday thoughts? Kids, just to get the party started.
I would like you to wish Willie a happy birthday via Bridge to Bridge, Marty, Lurie.
You want me to do a Marty?
Talking baseball.
The Giants by the bay.
All right, this is going to be Violent Marty greeting Willie Mays. Are you guys familiar with Violent Marty?
Yes.
He comes out only once in a while. Comes out once in a while. But when he comes out, dude, he's ripping. He's looking to do damage. So here we go. I'm talking baseball.
Doom, doom, doom.
I'll kick your ass. That's Violent Marty. So, and then we're going to segue from that into the birthday greetings. Greetings, it's me. It's me, Violent Marty. First off, go yourself. Mm-hmm. Second off, I want to say happy birthday to the Say Hey Kid, my personal friend and baseball idol. The rest of you keep your distance. It's going to be me, Johnny Shea, and the Say Hey Kid. We're going to go have some prime rib and strawberry cake. And again, I don't want groupies, hangers-on, or assorted entourage members trying to muck this up. It's about me and Willie. First and foremost, the Say Hey Kid. Everybody, I'll see you next week.
I heard you mentioned, that's fabulous. Beautiful. Because you mentioned John Shea, who wrote the book with Willie, 24.
That's why I think Shea's the only guy that can get through, you know?
Right. And you were saying Shea Hey, which is pretty sweet.
Shea Hey. Yeah, I got Shea Hey, Say Hey.
You know, I want to get into another also, a feud that was brewing this morning on the Murphy Mac Show. As we record this Thursday, and we're going deep into the Giants minutia here as we record this. But are Brian Murphy and Kerry Crowley having like a quarrel? Are they?
It's a lover spat of sorts. And here's where it all started. First of all, a couple of comments about Kerry Crowley. I just want to get this out there.
Careful, tread lightly. I'm a fan.
So I walk into the studio a couple of days ago because Shannon Crowley was filling in for Adam Copeland. First thing that jumped out at me was the turtleneck he had on, because it was like 90 degrees that day. It was hot.
Nice.
And he had the turtleneck. And then here was the thing that really threw me. I'm talking, this is 5:45 in the morning. I wasn't ready for this, Shannon. My first day back in a year.
Okay.
And I look over at him. First, I'm blown back by the turtleneck. I'm like, blown back by that.
Kind of offended by it, maybe.
And then there's the rich mahogany skin tone he's bringing. Have you guys seen the tan?
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, what's that from? Where was he?
Arizona, buddy.
My God.
You know?
I don't know where it came from. I don't know where it came from.
He's a big runner. I know that. So he spends a lot of time outdoors. I will say I made him the most inspirational player of the freshman baseball team at St. Ignatius College Prep when I coached Kerry Crowley years ago.
But Tony's right. The real lover's quarrel is between Crowley and Murph, and it all stems from this. We can get into this.
Pauly, real quick, do we need to just Kerry Crowley for the Bay Area News Group, Giants writer, just a little background.
I mean, yeah.
And born and raised in San Francisco, so he's been a Giants fan all of his life, just FYI, a little background. Murph, born and raised, across the bridge, so there's a little distance right there between the two, and it might play a role.
So you're Shannon, listen to this. So Crowley looks right into the eyes of Murph a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And he starts preaching the benefits and joys and positivity of seven inning baseball.
Oh, and he's one of them.
He's one of those guys.
Okay.
And you say it's great for the game.
Oh, geez.
You're a dinosaur if you don't see that this is where the game's going.
Oh.
So then Murph got all offended. So this thing's been going on for a couple of days now. But interestingly, though, you and Crowley are not that far apart in age. Like, you're early 30s, right?
Yeah. So what's he? He's
I would guess he's mid to late 20s. I mean, you guys are more or less in the same ballpark. So here we have Exhibit A, Shannon Kaler. You've got more. But then again, you like the band. You like Bob Dylan. You like traditional baseball. The seven-inning video game thing doesn't appeal to you.
No, I don't think it should appeal to anybody. But here's the thing. Murph is, he has said it himself. He is a red A.
No, there's no question about that. And this feud will probably continue as the days and weeks go on. But I will tell you what, as far as actual relevant Giant baseball going on, did you think here we would be, Shannon, the first week of May, talking about our first-place Giants looking... I mean, they're above the Dodgers, above the Padres.
I know.
And Dodgers are flailing around right now. They're playing terrible ball.
It was really hard to watch us lose two out of Colorado when we should have had those games. And honestly, I think as a ginger, it's hard for me to watch Logan Webb just kind of fool around and not throw strikes when he's got such great stuff.
I'm a Logan Webb fan. I root for the kid. I mean, he was doing so well, too, in Colorado. And then all of a sudden, it just on a dime, the whole outing just turned. And I tell you, Shannon, that's why I don't like watching baseball in Colorado. I just feel like even if you're up 10-2, that game's not over. Like, it's never.
Nothing's safe.
No.
It's not safe. It's kind of a silly place is what it really is. But I want to know how you feel about seven innings. You know, I get the feeling that Paul likes to be over here while everyone, you know, bickers and fights. And Paul kind of says, oh, well, I'm a man of the people. I'd stay out of the fray. I want you in the fray.
Okay, well, I feel like I've said this before, but no, I'm not a fan of seven-inning baseball because I feel like, you know, just look at the doubleheader the Giants just played in Colorado as an example. Like, you know, as far as I'm concerned, after seven innings, you should still have six more outs. Like, I want some more at bats. To me, it's not a. It'd be like a three-quarter football game, or you know, a I don't know a re-rigged basketball format. Like,
well,
I just
it's
think
basically
the game,
cutting a quarter out of a basketball game.
Yeah,
it really
is.
Yeah,
right. And the game to me, Shannon, is the game. I mean, the reason we're all here talking about sports for a living and we spend so much time watching these games is because we love the game. Like, I think that it's futile to try to do something like take innings off the scoreboard and think that's going to bring in new fans. Like, I don't think that's going to do it. I really don't. And I'm not trying to be, pessimistic, but I don't think that's the answer. Like, the casual person walking the streets, like, hey, I heard baseball inning games are only seven innings. I got to start watching. Like, that's a sentence I have not heard anybody say that. So,
you know, we love Mark Willard here on the Paulie's podcast. We think he's fabulous. His voice
is ridiculous.
He's been
a guest on the Jockcast.
Yeah, he was great talking about the feud with him and Larry. By the way, we talk a lot about gossip. We got a lot of KMBR gossip going
lately,
on.
Lately, we've getting really – I like the gossip, too. We should have our own, like, gossip segment or something.
You know what I heard about Tolbert? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Seriously. Dude, wait till you hear what I tell you about jumping Johnny Lund.
Oh. Where
I'm just
was
kidding.
He with his spike tips? I mean,
I got nothing on Johnny Lund, but I do like your idea of a KMBR gossip segment.
Okay,
no, I'm kidding,
bro.
I'm kidding.
No,
but anyway.
But Mark Willard was talking about, you know – yeah, there's all these people who are against changing pieces of the game or, you know, things about the game. And I'm not afraid of small rule changes or like keeping someone in the batter's box, keeping trips from the manager to a minimum, you know, getting some things to keep the pace going and encouraging hitters to swing a little bit more and not just wait for the home run pitch or something that they can do huge damage on, you know, get the ball in play, get the game moving. But what he was saying was, you know, but this one seven inning rule thing, that's the one out of all these new rules that's kind of like you're just cutting the game off.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even helping any issue. It's just you're just making something shorter. And that's not the problem.
Let me give you three scenarios here, Shannon. Three changes to the game.
Okay.
Within the last two seasons that we've seen. And I'm going to ask you, if you had to eliminate two but keep one, which would it be and why? And okay. after Shannon gets into that, I just want to tell everybody we will talk to Steve Moskowitz, our friend and sponsor, and then we'll be back after that with Shannon's musical assignment. Creative Tony is evaporated for the moment, but he'll be back, so stay tuned for the triumphant return of Tony. But Shannon, so we've seen a designated hitter force down our throat.
Yeah.
We've seen a runner.
Forced.
They force fed it to me. I didn't ask for it. Then they force fed me a runner on second base in extra innings. Yep. And they force fed me the 7-inning doubleheader. I'm going to ask you, this is almost a puff or pass, a puff, puff, give. I know we got to revamp that whole thing too. There's a lot going on behind the scenes with lawsuits. But as far as the concept of puff or pass goes, Shannon, I'm going to ask you to pass on two and puff on one. DH, runner on second and extras, 7-inning doubleheaders. Cut two and puff one.
I would say the DH is the one that's the easiest to stomach because pitchers, a lot of them, they just don't have time anymore to focus on hitting. You don't want people to get hurt. And also watching most pitchers don't put much effort in. So most of them suck at hitting.
Right.
So they're not that fun to watch. So I'm cool with that. And I also think it also brings on, there's more roles for every club. So I like that. I like having more guys that you could bring in to fill different spots.
Jesus
the
Christ.
Guy on second, though. What? You don't like that? Go ahead, Toad.
Creative Tony, I got to throw it to you. Creative Tony. So,
Shannon, you like American League Baseball. You like the DH.
I said it's the easiest to stomach.
I'm doing a puff or pass on this, Tony. I'm saying you got to keep one, but pass on two of these rule changes they forced down our throat. DH, runner on second, 7-inning doubleheaders. Your resume with Kerry Crowley is pretty established, the baseball relationship. You know your ball. I'm just throwing Crowley in the mix as much as I can. Tony, what do you puff on and which two do you pass?
All three of them can eat a first of all.
Okay.
Second of all, if I had to take one, because of the short attention span of Shannon's generation.
Whoa, why me?
I love the lash out of Kaler.
I'm so tired of this. Baseball's too slow. It takes too long. I mean, it's the beauty of the game that it doesn't have a clock. It's the beauty that you don't know how long the game's going to be. That's the beauty of it. Extra innings are a wonderful part of baseball.
Extra ball for nothing.
Free baseball. When you're at a game and it goes to extra innings, when I was a kid, we used to high five and hug and dance. Free baseball. We have extra baseball for free. Now they're trying to get rid of baseball. I don't get it. I'll never get it. And I guess I'm sounding like old guy, get off my lawn. But you know what? Baseball was created that way for a reason. There is no clock. It's supposed to get lost in the essence of the game, in the nuances. Nuances.
Nice.
The only thing that I have been like, okay, fine, is the runner on second base in the extra innings, which I hate. Like, I hate all three of these things you're talking.
Yeah, me too.
But the only thing that I've seen a little bit of when they put the runner on second base is it brings back a little bit of small ball and a little bit of strategy.
Oh, I'm going to remember. You said this. I'm going to remember next time.
Because with the runner on second base,
crying about it.
Runner on second base, Shannon, no outs. Let me just take you to baseball 101, okay?
Okay.
Oh, 101. I don't know anything about baseball. Tony, how's this happen? How's this work?
Go ahead and chomp, Gator Boy, SF State.
Oh, hey,
runner on second base, no outs. You should bunt him over and then get him in.
Yeah.
That, in my love of baseball, aka Small Ball. Bunt him
Can
over,
I get him in? Can get I get him in with a sack fly, Tony?
Did you see Duggar's bunt the other day in Colorado? How much havoc it caused? And he Love beat it out. And he beat it out.
You've been saying that for years.
Bunts cause havoc. Even with professionals, they cause havoc. And it doesn't get used enough. Where's the suicide squeeze? Can somebody suicide squeeze somebody home for the love of God? Once? Just once?
One god time!
Seriously. Seriously. One last time!
I do remember that the last time we talked about this, you said, oh, I don't like this.
I hate it. I hate it. But if you're playing this little game of you got to pick one, then the one I would pick would be the runner on second base because it actually might bring the bunt back.
Here's what I got
to
do.
And the sack fly or hitting a ground ball to the right side to get a runner over to third base and then hitting a ground ball at the middle. Or might it for the love for, you know, for a goof, it brings back the safety squeeze or the suicide squeeze.
I tell you what I got to do at this point. I got to restore some order to the Jockcast. It's getting unruly. It's getting unruly.
I'm sorry. I had to go make lunch for my kids while you guys were talking. I came back and I hear you talking about Shannon. Oh, I love the DH.
I didn't love the DH.
Creates more positions.
Oh,
pitchers don't really focus on hitting anymore. It gets rid of that.
You know what it sounds like to me? It's just another facet of the game. Can go and gang up on Kerry Crowley and you and Brian Murphy can go hang out and talk about how everything needs to be old and fun and just like it used to be. Hope you guys have fun.
Some things you don't mess with. You know, it's funny. I'd like to make a parallel, Shannon, to the music industry that you're a part of. For the longest time. Oh, you know what? Turntables are lame. Let's do cassettes. Let's do CDs. Oh, guess what's never left society and is making a comeback like no other? Turntables and vinyl records. You know what? Some things you just leave alone. Turntables, leave alone. Records, leave alone. Baseball, leave alone.
No.
Yeah.
What you're saying is bring back the Laserdisc.
I'm saying Laserdisc was a fad, and this BS about seven innings and runner on second base is a fad that hopefully goes away, and then we get back to the true essence of the game with no clock, no runner on second base, no seven inning games, and the DH can go to hell.
By the way, great phrase. We got to bring that one back. Go to hell.
Yeah.
Dude, how about just dropping that on somebody?
Right.
Hey, Paulie Mac, blank you. Oh, yeah? Go to hell. I'm going to try that.
Go to hell.
A couple of quick hits. Go to hell. I'm just getting warming up.
I am just sorry.
I know.
The fire today. I'm going to hell in a bucket, Paul.
Nice. I'm enjoying the ride. Couple of quick comments, and we got a break for Steve Moskowitz. But, Tony, to your points, I just want to say a couple things. One, you're talking about extra inning baseball, and I feel the same way as a baseball fan. Who doesn't want like bonus time for your buck? Like, doesn't cost you any extra. You're getting free ball,
right?
Free baseball.
It's like when you go and see Fish or Pearl Jam or Springsteen, and they decide to play like a 7-song encore. You're going to complain?
Like, well, how about Pearl Jam?
See, Shannon, you take your little 2-minute songs and get the hell out of here.
The Kinks. What do they have done with a two-minute song?
I got nothing against the Kinks, but I'm not on here.
You got something against 2-minute songs? Wild Thing. Out. Get out.
Yeah. You move me.
Again, the hostility on the Jockcast today, it's palpable. So let me do this. I was going to say something about baseball, but okay, let me say it anyway.
Okay.
On the way to the break, so renowned bass player and singer Geddy Lee of the band Rush is a big baseball fan. In fact, he is a season ticket holder to Toronto Blue Jays games. You can see him behind the plate. He tucks his hair up under a cap. He's sitting right there.
Totally.
And he is, in fact, anybody who's interested, do this. Go to YouTube and enter Geddy Lee Negro Baseball Hall of Fame. You're going to be blown away. A lot of the Negro displays have come from Geddy Lee. As insane as that sounds, Geddy has a huge collection. So they interviewed him for that. And again, you can watch this on YouTube.
Isn't one of the houses or the rooms in his house like a museum to baseball?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he has he's got shoeless Joe Jackson bats, Babe Ruth gloves. Like, he's hardcore, super hardcore. But Tony, in the interview, he said the same thing you did, which was Geddy said, I love baseball because, like, when you look around in 2021, baseball's got no business even existing in this age. And yep. he goes, I love not having a game that's dependent on the clock. Like,
right.
if an inning is going to go 40 minutes, so be it. That's right. how this game's going. Or, mm-hmm. Tony, if a game needs to go 14 innings, hey, so be yeah. it. But right. let's play this thing out. Let's not just give somebody, like, a second base. Like, I think you got to earn your way out there. I don't like the fact that they just drop a guy on second. No Tony, question. Go ahead.
You know how hard it is to get to second base in baseball? Like, it's not yeah. an easy thing to do.
Like, they're not giving away free first downs in football.
Right. Right. And here's my question, which I just don't know the answer to. Maybe Shannon and his younger pals can help me out here.
Right.
Paulie forced me into a corner. He didn't give me any. He said I had to choose.
Seriously.
I did.
No, but I want to know something. Seriously, this is in all seriousness. Okay. And, you know, I'm not riffing. What is the rush? Why are we trying? What is the rush? Because when you go to a Giants game, you shouldn't be planning things to do after the game. You should just go to the game, and that's your outing, right? So I think, what is the rush? Why are we I don't understand the rush.
I think the
– Shout out Katie Lee once again. Shannon, go ahead.
Yeah, for a absolutely. This is a serious take that I'm about to give. I think, honestly, the rush is that baseball is afraid of the attention spans of our generation. We click on stuff. There's something else. There's so much content that is coming so fast, and videos are so short, and people power pack everything. It's just, it's not, it's
then
not.
Then why try to convince those people, those kind of people, to like baseball? Don't even come to the game.
But, right. But can I put it in a nutshell?
But
Paulie?
They need them. The business owners need them. Paul.
You're, no, that's
what
correct.
It's all about.
That's correct. All
about. I'll put it in a nutshell for you both. We're effed.
Oh, yeah, perhaps.
And that's with that, time for what?
To un-F ourselves, let's go to break. And then we will talk to Steve Moskowitz next on the Polymac Podcast. All right, welcome back to the Polymac Podcast. KMBR 680 and 104.5, the sports leader. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for our weekly conversation with not only our friend, but proud sponsor of the Polymac Podcast. He is Steve Moskowitz, tax attorney right here in San Francisco. I've been working with him for over 10 years. He's been in business well over 30 years. And again, all based right here in San Francisco. Steve, I think one of the more painful elements of this pandemic for a lot of people has been the just us watching so many restaurants close, local restaurants, not big chains, but just local restaurant owners that have sadly fallen by the wayside. But it sounds like help is on the way. I would like you to kind of get me familiar with what I've been reading about called the Restaurant Revitalization Federal Program. Is this like, what exactly is that? And it sounds too good to be true.
It does, but it's real. So what's happened is the government started, the application started on May the 3rd. And what happens is the government will give you your lost gross revenue. So wow. What that means in English is suppose, for example, in 2019, you had a gross revenue of $5 million for your business. And then in 2020, you had a gross revenue of $1 million. The government will give you the difference. They'll give you the $4 million, up to $10 million per business. It's a gift. You never pay it back. It's not taxable. It is a gift. You say, wow. And if you think about it, if you'd been in business and you made that money, you'd have expenses to go along with it. So most businesses only get a small percentage of the gross revenue as their profit. Here, the government's giving you the gross revenue. They forgot about your expenses. They're giving you the gross revenue. So ironically, you're so much better off this way than if you'd been in business. So you say, well, you know, what's the catch? What's the catch here? The only catch is the government set aside a fund of money, but it's not nearly enough to go around.
Okay.
So the way it's going to work is the first ones in line are going to get Boku, and everybody else is going to stand with an empty cup out in the cold. On the first day, our firm went ahead and started filing for clients. And the first two clients we filed for took over $2 million out of this fund. That's $2 million that we took out of that fund that these two clients are going to get. So the bottom line is this is fantastic. But my concern is, you know, a lot of times people procrastinate. Oh, let me think about it. Oh, I'm busy. And let me do this and that. And while they're checking and they say, oh, okay, you know, this is a really good deal. It's going to be gone. That's my big concern.
Okay.
It's going to be gone. So this is something I've actually set attorneys aside to do this. So if you come in the door, we got to do this immediately or you're going to lose out.
Well, Steve, this is this sounds like an incredible boost for so many different business owners and restaurant owners that need a little help right now. So what is the window again, Steve? Like, when does this program?
When the money runs out. So when they don't have a date. It's just okay. When the money runs out. Think of it like this.
Yeah.
You're in a place where there's a whole bunch of starving people and some philanthropist lays out a beautiful table of food and says, come and get it. And when the food is gone, it's gone. And there's not enough food to go around. That's what's going to happen. You get the mad scramble up front.
Steve, is there a distinction or does the government make any distinction between what they would categorize as a restaurant? It's just as opposed to, say, a sports bar and grill where we have so many of our KMBR listeners.
Well, they would all cover.
Okay.
So the sports. So this is very wide range. A restaurant, bar, food truck, food stand.
Awesome.
Any business that sells food or beverage to the public, the government specifically left the definition wide open. So all types of businesses that sell food or drink are eligible.
And how many, I mean, just roughly, when you look around San Francisco, Steve, I mean, you've seen the boarded up stores like the rest of us, and it's awfully sad to see the state of things. I guess if you could just kind of, you know, make a layman's guess here. How many local restaurants do you think potentially with your help could benefit from this? I mean, there's no limit to the number of local restaurants that could come to you, right? The door's open.
No limit. The only limit is when the money runs out. To give you some idea,
yeah,
in the first 3 days of the program, there were 186,000 applications.
This is great news, man.
The money is going. It's like some philanthropist says, here's a fund of money. Just think about it. If some billionaire said, I know you're all starving here in this area. I'm laying some money down on the ground. Just come and take it. But when it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
That's what's happening with this.
Well, this sounds like an opportunity for a lot of people. And the operative frame of mind, as Steve is saying, is this is something you need to do in a timely fashion. So if you qualify or you think you qualify, reach out to Steve Moskowitz and have that conversation so he can help you get the ball rolling and perhaps get some revenue back that you've lost along the way during the pandemic. Call Steve at 1-888-TAX-DEAL. That's 1-888-TAX-DEAL. Or visit him online and get more information at MoskowitzLLP.com. So Steve, on the way out here, are there any final words or messages? I know we're encouraging people to come to you soon. Don't wait on this one, but for the Restaurant Revitalization Federal Program, any other thoughts we should say on the way out?
Paulie, this is the sports station. I'm looking up at the scoreboard.
Yes.
And there's just a very little bit of time left. I see that goalpost right in front of me. Yeah. I got the football.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit there and think, you know, what should I do now? Yeah. You got to go for the goal, man. You got to go for the goal.
That's it. We're going first and goal, man. Steve Moskowitz on the handoff. So great talking to you, Steve. This is actually a really, really exciting piece of news for a lot of local restaurant owners. So thank you for sharing that knowledge
with
us.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure with you as well, Steve. We'll see you next week on the podcast.
Thanks.
Steve Moskowitz, everybody, our friend and sponsor, KMBR 680 and 104.5. PolyMac Podcast returns on the other side. All right, we are back on the PolyMac Podcast. It's been eventful today. Everything from Steve Moskowitz to the Kerry Crowley, Brian Murphy. Are we calling it a feud? I'm not sure.
Family feud. Let's go.
Family feud. We'll get to the bottom of that at some point, too. But now is the time where I like to think it's the most popular segment of the Jockcast, Tony. It's when families gather around the radio. It's when grandmothers and sons and daughters and cousins and aunts and nieces and nephews, they all gather around to say and to hear.
Yeah.
What will Shannon Kaler's musical assignment be this time? And I got to tell the audience, I'm in the same boat as you. We have no idea. Shannon, the floor is yours, buddy. Bestow us with some of your greatness.
Oh, no problem, Paul. I shall. Here's the musical assignment this week has a lot to do with what we've been discussing. Willie Mays is 90 years old, and he's our treasure. You know, born in Alabama, the catch in New York, the statue in Willie Mays Plaza, and he's coming to the game on Friday, and they're going to have a cake. Evidently, there's cakes for this guy all the time, and he deserves it. I mean, he went through the Negro Leagues. He dominated the major leagues and is a true he's a true American icon. And so today we're going to celebrate living legends. So people who have been in the music game for a long, long time, who are still with us, who still inspire us.
We'll just go from right to left today. We'll go creative Tony second. I'll wrap this ass up.
I will go with a real icon that I've gotten to meet. I've been so lucky to get to meet her.
Oh,
and I've selected her on the podcast before, or music that she's done before. But really, I mean, she and her family, the Staple Singers, opened up at Martin Luther King rallies. I mean, this is legendary American, you know, music, important American music. Mm-hmm. That will stand the test of time forever and is just part of the American story. Mm-hmm. And so Mavis Staples is still with us, and we're really lucky that, you know, going to see her is a spiritual experience.
Can I ask a quick,
go ahead, Paul. Yeah.
Quick question, just a real quick question, only because this is like your dream bill. And I saw you at this show, actually, and I saw your dad too, which was cool. But not that long ago, I think it was in 2017, it'd be my guess, maybe 2018. I think it was 2017. But it was Bob Dylan and Mavis Staples.
I know.
At the, like, on the same bill. Dude, that's like your dream.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And it was Bob Dylan's dream to marry her. And that's she said, no, I'm not going to do that.
That's right. By the way, speaking, before you even pick your song, Shannon, sorry, I've hijacked your whole selection. Let me speak to my colleague, Tony, for a second. Tony,
yes.
I just want to point out to you that when the world opens up again and bands start playing, I want you to keep in mind that, speaking of dream bills, Pearl Jam, I believe in the Midwest, like St. Louis and Indiana and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They've got the Smashing Pumpkins opening for them. So KNBR, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Nice.
Speaking of great bills.
That's quite a double bill right there.
It's a lot to handle in one night.
Seriously.
It's a lot. I got E-Haw coming at me. Now I got Gossard. I got, they're coming at me, Shannon.
I loved that. I loved watching the Smashing Pumpkins with you guys. That was a great show.
That was fun. Where we were too, like 80 miles from the stage. It was the best. Just standing there, like up in the highest road, standing. It was the greatest.
Well, okay. Hold on. Refocus. American Heroes.
That's my bad.
It's okay. It's okay. Mavis Staples, I'm going to go with her cover because I feel like I've picked a bunch of her songs before. She covers Slippery People by Talking Heads.
Oh, wow.
And I love her rendition. So here's Slippery People performed by the American hero Mavis Staples.
Nice, Shanny. Mavis.
There.
We're recording this on Thursday in honor of Willie's 90th birthday, Willie Mays, 24 Willie Mays Plaza. Paulie, I'm taking it, and you're going to close this out.
24 Willie Mays Plaza, by the way. Just throw it out there.
That's right. I mean, seriously, though, when you think about it, who doesn't say, meet me at the Willie Mays statue? I mean, that's
everybody
like,
does. Yeah.
I mean, it's become such a great, like, thing. Just meet me at Willie. You know?
I've done it. Yeah.
Although I will say, I do like to have people meet me at Gaylord or McCovey as well. You know,
McCovey, though, the only thing about McCovey is the location. Like, it's behind the stadium.
But that's my point, though. It's better because it's not as crowded, and you don't spend much time looking for the other person.
But what about Marichal? He's over here. I mean, he's by the Cove. He's hanging out. He's cool. He's kicking.
Juan's phenomenal. Are you kidding me?
He's
got the light.
I got wrong with Juan.
Yeah.
All right, Shannon, don't hijack my pick, okay?
Right.
All right. I mean, for me, I've been listening to this guy a lot lately, and he's one of those guys that I didn't listen to enough when I was younger, and then it hit me, I don't know, probably 15 years ago, that I need to just go back into his catalog and just study, listen. And then I went to, and you want to talk about somebody who's 88 years old, but a few years ago at Jazz Fest, I saw him and he had tens of thousands of people packing his set at Jazz Fest in New Orleans. And I'm talking about the one and only Willie Nelson. I mean,
yeah.
How do you, everybody listening, I don't care if you don't like, you think you don't like country music. Please listen to Willie Nelson. It's kind of like that t-shirt that says, listen to Black Sabbath. I want a t-shirt that says, listen to Willie Nelson. Whiskey River, Willie Nelson. Whiskey River, take my mind. Da-da-da-da. I mean, come on. You want to talk about Americana. It's not country. It's just a good old-fashioned slice of Americana. Whiskey River, take my mind. Don't let her memory torture me.
Ah,
come on.
From that to this, Tony, you inspired me to – I was going to shout out, and I'm just going to shout these guys out. I was going to go with Phil Lesh, who – is a he's an inspiration. He's a liver transplant survivor. He is, to me, he's like a Miles Davis figure, only he's playing bass, but that's mm-hmm. the way he plays. He's always exploring and he's still flipping doing it. But yes. Tony, just to kind of keep people on their toes, I will just give Phil Lesh my undying respect and love. You mentioned Bobby Weir too. So, I mean, the Grateful Dead guys, as far as I'm concerned, to me, they're like my family. But instead of going Phil Lesh, which I will give him just my, again, just a massive shout out, tribute, undying love. Go get him, Phil. I'll see you soon. I'm going to do something else. I want to celebrate probably the last truly authentic living bluesman, like the last blues legend on 2 feet, still gigging. He was, my wife saw this guy live in Santa Barbara right before the pandemic hit. I got to give my props to Buddy Guy.
Yes.
Buddy Guy.
Oh, yeah.
The man is in his 80s. And it's like you said, Tony, he can't stop, won't stop.
Yep.
He'll only stop when he's dead. That's when he's going to stop.
Yep.
So to celebrate Buddy Guy and his legacy and the fact that he really is at all those guys, Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, Freddie King, Albert King, Shannon, help me, I'm forgetting anybody. Paul Butter,
Willie Dixon.
Wait, yeah. He's the last one. Walter. He's the last one. He's still out there. It's amazing. And I would like to select a song, Tony, that was played by Buddy Guy and the Rolling Stones, other great bluesmen in their 80s. Inspiring people. But from the Beacon Theater, you can find this on YouTube. You can find this in Marty Scorsese's movie, Shine a Light. Buddy Guy comes out and plays with the Rolling Stones. They do a Muddy song called Champagne and Reefer.
Yeah. Okay? I know it. Yes.
Give me champagne when I'm thirsty and give me a reefer when I want to get high. And then, dude, the vocal that Buddy Guy delivers are gonna, I'm telling you, you're gonna get goosebumps. He comes on, he goes, the lyric is, there shouldn't be no law when a man wants to smoke a little dope.
I love it.
The way he sings that line, he truly is, he's like a lion roaring possessed in a jungle. It's incredible. Yeah. So champagne and reefer, I want Buddy Guy with the Rolling Stones, and we tip our cap to Willie Mays and all other living American icons out there.
Great call, Paulie, with the polka dot guitar.
Last thing. I forgot about that, Tony. And yes, the polka dot guitar is that Keith Richards follows an old blues tradition. When they finish the song, Keith takes his guitar off and just gives it to Buddy Guy.
Nice.
That is like the greatest tribute in the blues circles, is like you play with somebody who you love or are impressed with, you just give them your guitar. So when the song ends, Keith just gives Buddy his guitar, and then Buddy goes, he goes, why are you doing this? And Keith goes, because it's yours. And then it's all there. Check it out. It's a great clip. Yeah.
That's fantastic. I think the formula for all these guys, as we wrap it up here on the Jockcast, all of them have learned to plug in to what's happening now, and it sustains their careers. It sustains their health, their vitality.
What about lovemaking?
That too.
Okay.
Hey, Phil is flat out vegan. Phil Lesh is vegan. And I promise you, one of the reasons he's doing so well physical health wise, is because of that. And also, he's probably still making lots of love.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's a recipe to success.
Well, I was just asking. I mean, it's a human, it's a, you know, it's a part of the human condition, right?
You're damn right it is.
I mean, Shannon, we all talk about, you know, look, it's lovemaking. I don't know. By the way,
it's beautiful. It's beautiful, Paul.
And I'm trying to bring that phrase back. I do my damnedest to push it back into the, you know, into common practice. I'll drop it on the Murph and Mac show too, Tony. I'll just say, you know, how did anybody have any enjoyable lovemaking over the weekend they'd like to recount?
Paulie, bring it back the same way we should bring back nine innings for a goof. Or bring back nice. Extra innings. Bring back extra innings for a goof. Or, okay. You know, a pitcher's hitting for a goof. I don't know.
Just great stuff.
Well, I mean, aren't these old guys, they're learning new things. You guys might want to learn a few new things. Get used to a few new rules. Who knows? You know?
You hear him? You hear him talking?
Vibrant. I do.
You see him?
Shannon, hey, Shannon, go pan fry a hot dog, pal.
I just did. I just did. I pan fried it, and I ate the out of it. It's so good.
Oh!
Delicious.
Well, I guess you'd be eating a lot of eating pig.
It's time to wrap up the Jockcast, y'all. Hey, I had a great time today. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, creative Tony and Shannon. And hey, kids, we'll see you next week on the Jockcast. Mm-hmm. Until then, happy birthday, Willie Mays. Go Giants. And I don't know, onward and upward. See you next week, y'all.
You've been listening to Pauly's Podcast with Pauly Mack of the Murph and Mack Morning Show. This is the KNBR Podcast Network on KNBR, the sports leader.